Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 11 April 2023. Welcome to tonight's broadcast, and we're so glad you're with us. We're going to bring up another special guest tonight, folks, that we haven't had on for a little while. We're going to tell you about him in just a minute. But don't forget, this weekend, Lord willing, we're going to be having Bible study. We start 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time. First half hour is given to prayer requests and praise reports that are open for you to call in and share. That's what we want you to do, and talk to us and tell us what's on your mind. That's our whole goal, is to have you join us, and hope you'll do that. And you can watch us live if you want to on PastorButch.com. Go to live stream, click on there, and there we are. You can go, if you don't have a computer, do that on. You can call us on 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013, and talk to us on that and ask questions, make comments. We take one phone call per segment. If you want to call three times, you can. One per segment if you like asking questions, make comments. We're there for that reason. And don't forget, we're offering this month. I want you to get your new catalog. If you want a call decision catalog, no charge. Just call and give Lisa your address. And we'll send one out to you this coming Thursday. You can call 800-777-4403 or 304-846-4448 and tell Lisa you want a catalog. And I hope you'll get one, folks, because you can see what's in there that we got to share with you. And, again, as I mentioned last night, it's about 2 pages long of what was written back in 1987 called the Gay Manifesto. When I read that on the radio station here locally, they were so angry, not the homosexuals. People that, well, it can't happen in America. It never happened here. Take them off the air. They threatened to pick in front of the radio station and even threatened to burn the place down. They never did it, but they threatened it. And many of them listening to my program called themselves Christians. But I could not convince them that what the Bible prophesied was going to happen in the last days was going to happen, and it's happening right now. As you know, last night's guest, Pastor Derek Reamer from Ontario, was going to join us. And I'm sorry, Alberta was going to join us. And when Todd called, a producer called to get him on the program, he was in jail again for preaching the gospel. Well, our guest tonight, I've had on in the past, Pastor Jim Harden from New York, had been hassled, harangued, I'm sure threatened. His pro-life clinics have been burned, graffiti written all over them, and much, much more been done. And for over a year, they couldn't catch the ones who did it because the Senate did it after dark, and they couldn't tell who it was. What a bunch of hogwash, to say the least. But anyway, Our guest tonight, like I said, is Pastor Jim Harden. Pastor, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me on, Pastor Butch. I love your show. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you, and it's an honor to have you too, my friend. It truly is. And as we were talking before, before we were on the air tonight, I don't like New York State. I'm not, if I listen to New York, I'm not saying about you at all. I appreciate y'all. I really do. But New York has a cloud over it that I just can't fathom that anybody want to stay there very long. I know it sounds awful, and I don't mean sound nasty, but I was there. I felt like I was walking in a very oppressed part of the country. I didn't feel at ease there at all. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just something that is all about me. But I don't think so. I could sense there's something dark in that state. Am I right on that?
Oh, you're 100% right. There's an oppression. It's a spiritual oppression, and we feel it. You know, when we drive, when I drive somewhere, and I'm coming back into the state. You know, I'm coming back in from Pennsylvania or someplace, and you know, just right when we cross the border, and it's not the potholes. You know, despite the fact you might need some spelunking gear to drive your car around here, I mean, there is an oppression that is palpable. You know, when the Bible in Exodus, you remember how you know, God put plagues on Egypt. Well, one of the plagues on Egypt was a felt darkness. The darkness was felt.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's a spiritual reality that we're having to bear up under. And look, the reason why we're still here, I mean, you know, a lot of our friends have moved away for that reason. And the reason we're still here is because we got to fight. We have to fight. If we don't fight now and here where the danger is, it's just going to follow us. We as Christians need to stay where God has placed us and speak the truth. Be the prophetic word, not just spoken, but lived. You know, so that's what we're trying to do, and that's why we're being attacked. That's why, you know, this empire state, as they call themselves, the New York State empire state, has to do with centralization of power. It has nothing to do with a Republican democracy. It has everything to do with changing the way in which America functions. And that's why you see, you know, politicians from New York and politicians from California and places like that always standing on the side of the government, not on the side of the people, because they're interested in one thing, absolute power. And what is abortion? Abortion represents absolute power, the ability to decide who lives and who dies. That's absolute power right there.
Well, it also represents satanic worship, does it not?
It sure does. I mean, if you look at the history of the demise of nations in the Bible, you know, you look at 1 Kings and 2 Kings and Chronicles and places like that, you know, God, you know, the pinnacle, if you will, I should say, the absolute bottom of the barrel, maybe it's a better analogy, of evil. When evil reaches its full maturity in a nation, people start to kill their own children. They put their children through the fire.
That's true.
They sacrifice them to the god of Molech. And then God judges them and dispossesses them from the land. The land vomits them out. God takes away their nation state, their nationhood, just like he did to Judah and Israel. What did they do? They started doing things that it never entered God's mind, the Bible. It never entered his mind. Jeremiah prophesied against it. Ezekiel prophesied against it. They're killing their own children, Pastor Butch. And what are we doing? What is America doing now? What is New York State championing? They're championing the cause of death and the killing of preborn boys and girls.
And not only that, they're turning over to the Satan through the drag queen shows, the sodomite teachers and other authorities that are taking them in and brainwashing them and grooming them to become just like them. Because, see, those people cannot reproduce. They have to recruit. And they know that. They come for the children. Yeah. And they offer this gay manifesto for a donation or whatever, they cover postage, about $5. This gay manifesto that I read, that was one of the things they planned, to get in where the children are, in the schools, get into the military. And they've done that. And, by the way, the military, this new spending bill for the military, they left out the laws against sodomy and bestiality. Now, this is a fact. This is America today, and we don't think that America is going to be taken down hard. I mean, painfully hard.
I tell you, I was reading the Book of Revelation the last few days, and I look at the description. You know, people say, well, why isn't America listed? Why isn't America in the Book of Revelation? Why isn't America in the Bible? Well, I mean, maybe, I think you and I talked about this before, but I think it is.
It is there. I have no doubt it is. No doubt.
Yeah. What do you, where do you think it is? I think you and I agree on this. I think that America is listed in the Bible as Babylon, the merchant nation who essentially makes the other nations play the harlot after her. Their pharmakia, their sorceries, they're refusing to repent of their sorceries and their pharmakia. They're refusing to repent of their sale of human flesh, of their exporting the harlotries and the destruction of nations. That's what we're doing.
Agree.
We are exporting sin. We are exporting it. We're not just doing it, right? So I don't, there's just no way that we're God's going to let this one go. I mean, if God doesn't judge America, right, he is going to have to apologize to Israel to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Well, you know, the Bible says in Revelation 18 that we're the den of all hateful birds. I mean, it means foul spirits, so to speak. We're the den of it. And I know people don't want to hear that. America was once somewhat a godly nation, and I realize it's been corrupt for many, many, many years. But the corruptness was like cancer. You didn't see it on the surface. It was there, but there was enough left of the fiber of this body we call America to keep it somewhat together. And now that the cancer is eating through the outside of it, it's easy to see. And those that are standing for the truth, for the unborn, for the immoral actions of people all around them, are the ones now who are the targeted ones. There was a time that if you were a child molester or a rapist or a sodomite or a lesbian, you went to jail at least for it. Today,
yep,
we go to jail for preaching against it.
That's right. They are undermining the basic civilized order. And they're beginning now. They've infiltrated the upper echelons of government, including the DOJ and the federal law enforcement. And they're now using law and law enforcement to undermine the rule of law. And here I believe that when there's the Christians are asleep right now, the church at large in America is largely asleep. They're not alert. They're not paying attention. They're not sober-minded, as the Bible talks about. God has sovereignly placed us in a democratic republic. You know, in Romans chapter 13, it talks about let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. Okay, so let's just take that for a second. If our governing authority is a democratic republic, and our government is by the people and for the people, then as citizens, God has sovereignly decreed, as Christians, we have a duty. We are duty-bound, according to this scripture, to speak and to act. Look, this nation cannot survive an immoral people.
I agree.
It is designed for a religious, that is, a Christian people who can govern themselves. And when we step away from God, which is what we've done in this country, when we step away from God, it totally alters the governmental framework, and we now are no longer able to keep this freedom. And instead of defining liberty as it's intended, that is, we have inalienable rights, and those rights have corollary duties, instead of that, we've got a redefinition of liberty to mean license. The government gives me the license to do whatever I feel like I should do, like marry my dog, or you know, my another man. I mean, this is absolute rejection of not just the moral law, Pastor Butch, but the natural law. It's a total and complete rebellion.
I agree. And you know, I remember this back when we went to Iraq. It's been when back in the 90s we went into Iraq. I'm guessing that when it was. And I remember in the Charleston paper, when the Charleston newspapers, the headline right on the front page, big headline, Iraq now free to sin. That was the headline. I wish I'd kept that paper. Iraq now free to sin. America went over there and took away their moral customs and laws and instilled our so-called values, and Iraq became a nation that was free to sin. Now, statement is that about any nation that would go in and turn the people loose to be immoral? What's that say about the nation that went in and done that?
It's a nation that is seeking to undermine the nation-state system.
They've done it, yes.
Nation-state system that is currently holding the civilized order together across the globe is being attacked. It's under attack. It was started with the Westphalian Treaty in 1648, and now you've got Maoist Antifa, Marxists engaging in you know, global insurgencies, including in the United States of America. You know, Rich Higgins, he's recently died, but he was a former irregular warfare expert for the Pentagon. He described what's happening in America with Antifa insurgency as fourth generation warfare, and it was the exact same process that was used by Al Qaeda to bring down Somalia. And you look at what's going on in America with respect to the pro-abortion Antifa terrorists attacking pregnancy centers like ours with firebombings and murder threats and things like that. And then you've got women pretending to be men shooting up schools like in Nashville. These are all connected. These are all the same people. What they don't know, what people are not, they're not connecting the dots. James Revenge in a communique said this: "We will hunt you down." This is after they firebombed us. "We will hunt you down and make your lives a living hell. So far, it's just been pregnancy crisis centers, but tomorrow it might be your cars, your homes, and even your lives."
That's
these people
true.
They're transgender, pro-abortion, left-wing, disaffected groups that are being recruited by Maoist Antifa to essentially foment violence and fourth-generation warfare, waves of attacks, and then to use those waves of attacks to recruit more disaffected left-wing people, and then foment violence. They're being trained in gun and handling military weapons by the John Brown Gun Club and the Puget Sound Gun Club. This is all happening in America today. And their goal, their stated goal, is to unite these transgender people with the pro-abortion people and the ecological environmentalist people in order to undermine the global civilized order, paving the way for a global Maoist communism. That is their goal. And so what do? They look at pregnancy centers and they say, oh gosh, there's a pregnancy center. Pregnancy centers are in their mind, representing the socioeconomic systems that uphold the global civilized order. And that is Christianity and the free market. So they think that if a woman comes to see us at a pregnancy center, pro-life Christian pregnancy center, that we're forcing our beliefs on her and forcing her to have her baby and become a permanent socioeconomic underclass. We're enslaving her, they say. We're harming her. We're torturing her. We're being vilified not just by pro-abortion terrorists, but by pro-abortion government bad actors like Elizabeth Warren out of Massachusetts.
Oh, yes.
We're terrorizing
yes.
them. You know,
yes.
and Senator Hirano out of Hawaii, who made a literal call to arms for pro-abortion people against pro-life people. They're not being censored. They're not being reprimanded. Why isn't the FBI researching them? Why aren't we've got 300 attacks on peaceful pro-life or Christian organizations since the illegal, unprecedented leak of the Dobbs case overturning Roe back last May. 300 attacks and no criminal convictions. And now you've got, thankfully, the Department of Justice, the House Judiciary Committee and the Senate Judiciary Committee are investigating the Department of Justice and the FBI. But they're lying. You got, what happens when Attorney General in charge of the Justice Department and the FBI lies under oath to the Senate Judiciary Committee, saying, we can't catch these people because they're committing the crimes in the dark? What happens to him? What happens when somebody lies? Well, the process is you've got to refer the perjury to the Department of Justice. You see the conflict of interest there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We need a special prosecutor. But who assigns a special prosecutor? The Department of Justice. These people are political appointees. By definition, the DOJ is politicized. By definition.
Yes. And that's... I know you see this well as I do. I'm sure you're familiar with Dimitri Dudeman and his prophecies for America back in the 80s, early 90s. You probably know what I'm talking about. He prophesied that America would go to civil war and then be attacked. Well, I can see the civil war being orchestrated I use the word left, but by the immoral government officials and the transgenders, all the others who are being told to attack Christians. I can see this fermenting a civil war because it's going to come to a place, brother, where if we don't defend ourselves, they're going to take us down, take out our families and our homes and everything else. So it's pushing us to a civil war here. A violence is going to break out sooner or later. Sooner or later, they're going to hit somebody that's not going to take it, and they're going to shoot back. And then all hell's going to break loose. And that's what they've always done to take down nations. It was the communists went in, started a ruckus between two factions, and then took over the country. The same scenario is happening here. It's happened in many third world countries over the past 60, 70, 80 years. The same thing's happening here, but the people don't see it. They don't seem to care about it. In your situation, you were firebombed and things happened to you. And how long was it before they finally found someone to arrest?
March 25th.
And that was how long after the event?
That was 300 days.
I'm gonna say about a year. Okay.
But by the way, that was they're not arresting her. That was a different issue. We got attacked, vandalized again. And so they arrested a person for the vandalism on the night of the hearing. The Judge Kaczmarek down in Texas, had a hearing about the possibility of overturning the FDA's approval of the dangerous chemical abortion drug mifepristone. We notified the FBI that we were concerned that we might get attacked again, and they were, issue a threat alert or something. Nothing. We didn't hear anything. But then we got attacked that night, and we submitted the video surveillance to the local police and FBI, and lo and behold, didn't they find somebody? Like we said all along, they can find them when they want to. They're making
sure.
A choice.
Well, what's happened to the individual? Are they in jail or what?
Oh, no. No, of course not. They're not in jail. They violated the FACE Act, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrance Act, but the DOJ is refusing to indict them.
They're basically free.
They're free. Well, that's right. But we're in the process of looking at, filing a civil FACE Act case against this person. And, they did find somebody with the original firebombing. The first firebombing occurred a few days after the illegal leak of the Dobbs case back on May 2nd. That was the first firebombing occurred in Madison, Wisconsin on Mother's Day, May 8th. Okay. Jane's Revenge took responsibility for that firebombing the same day. Jane's Revenge is this, pro-abortion Antifa terrorist group. And they said, they gave a 30-day ultimatum at that point in a communique. They said, if pregnancy centers don't shut down in 30 days, we're going to attack all over the country. And they have. And 30 days came, and who do they attack next? Our pregnancy center in Buffalo. They burned us out. It was $500,000 damage. Two firefighters were injured putting out the blaze. But look, here's the thing. I've got pastors. I got people coming to me saying I'm behaving in an unchristian manner. Do you know why? They're telling me this, okay? I'm a pastor, but you know this.
Oh, yes.
They're telling me that I'm behaving in an unchristian manner. Christians, pastors, I'm upset with me because I'm saying really strong things. I'm saying things, but they're true things. I've said that President Biden, Merrick Garland, and others, I've characterized their attacks on pregnancy centers and other pro-life groups as being the pro-abortion version of Germany's Kristallnacht. You know what? Kristallnacht is, you can't say that. Well, why not? 300 attacks? What does Kristallnacht mean? Well, it's German for broken glass at night. It's the tipping point in Nazi Germany, 1938, when the brown shirts went in the middle of the night and focused and attacked Jewish-owned businesses, broke the glass, and started fires. That's exactly what they're doing. And the reason why the violence tips into the general population is because of two things, and we're seeing this happen in America, two things in Nazi Germany. Number one, a refusal on the part of the political elite to denounce the violence and a lack of moral outrage. Lack of public outrage. And it's the same thing going on.
And a few Christians in Germany spoke up, ended up getting in trouble themselves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer
exactly
was one of them. But seeing this thing come together now, finally. We're seeing it come together, being put together like a piece of puzzle at a really quick pace now. All over the country, states have been divided from state to state. Florida's taking a stand. Texas trying to take a stand. Other, we'll say, red states, and including West Virginia, is trying to take a stand. But we're seeing the division between the states get wider and broader over the abortion pill issue, murder pill issue. We're seeing states now, they're drawing lines, Washington states, so we're not going to obey no matter what Texas says. And on and on it goes. It's going to end up in the Supreme Court again, of course. I don't know what's going to happen there. But nonetheless, the division is real, brother, and it breaks my heart. Now, I don't mind telling people, I carry a gun. I carry a gun on my hip normally, sometimes in the pocket. I carry a gun where I go. I am not a valid individual. If you attack me or my wife or somebody with me or my church, my pastor, I will shoot you. I'm not being nasty. I will stop you by any means I have in my hands to do so. As a Christian man, I am duty bound to protect my family, and not just my immediate family, blood family. I'm talking about even Christian family. I'm duty bound as a pastor, a shepherd of the flock, to protect the sheep. If I don't do it, then I did not deny the law of my God. And he told me that if I deny the providing for the flock with my family, that I deny the faith and worse an infidel. Now, that's what the book says. Now, you know, they call me hateful. One preacher said, well, Pastor Butch is a preacher, but we don't do it like he does. We're always loving. We never, you know. And the guy he's talking to was not a Christian. He said, you're loving, but you won't tell him about hell? How much love is that? Now, this guy wasn't even a Christian, said this. Yeah, exactly.
What is love? I mean, all we got to do is look at Jesus, and we know what love is. Jesus is the one who sacrificed himself on behalf of others. He is our good Samaritan. He's the one that found us beaten and left for dead on a dangerous Jericho road, beaten and left for dead by our sin and the sins of others. And he came down, condescended to us, gave us his voice, I mean, his resources, his voice on behalf, to God the Father. I mean, his standing. And he gave us our lives back, but not for any other reason other than to go and do likewise. Our job is not to leverage our newfound power and voice for God the Father for ourselves, but for on behalf of those that need it most, the weak and vulnerable of society. That's what we are supposed to be doing. We're supposed to protect others, not ourselves necessarily, right? So that's what pro-life people are all about. Pro-life Christians are all about protecting the weak and vulnerable. What does it say in Isaiah 1:17? Learn to do good. He's telling us the people of God. Learn to do good, people of God. Seek justice, people of God. Reprove the ruthless, people of God. Defend the orphan, people of God. Plead for the widow, people of God. I'm telling you right now, there is no more widow in our society than a woman who thinks that she has to choose between her life and her baby's life. And there's no one more orphaned, by orphan, I mean fatherless, than a child who in the womb who's about to be killed because the nation it lives in refuses to respect his or her humanity. I mean, this is absolute systemic injustice. And America is at war. America is at war, and Christians are a target. And we ignore this, Pastor. We ignore this to our peril. This is what the Bible is talking about. The Bible said this was going to happen. It's going to happen. We need to be a voice for the oppressed and the voiceless. We need to sacrifice on behalf of those that are being attacked. And so why are we being treated like second-class citizens? Why are we being attacked, and why is the government allowing us to continue to be attacked? Because we're the ones that believe the thing. We believe a key belief that is the one thing that stands between tyranny and true freedom. And that's it. That all people are made in the image of God and deserving are equally valuable, deserving of blessing and
Amen.
Protection.
Amen. Hang on to the break, folks. A lot more talk by them phone calls next half hour. As always, 844-769-2944. How much you willing to pay, my friends, to serve Christ? Count the cost. Back at the break.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Nevada Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSG. Give Nevada a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nevada.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. With organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
All righty, folks, we're back here and talking to Pastor James Harden. This man is on fire for the Lord and trying to do his will, best understand it, and stand on the truth of his word. We were talking during the break about something that I titled on a year and a half ago, I don't remember how long it's been, on the mark of God, on his people. If you read Ezekiel, you'll find out about the mark. The man with the inkhorn on his side, going around marking those who were his and not those that were and those who were not his were condemned. And we find it in Peter, where Lot's righteous soul was vexed for everything going around him. That is what the mark of God is in Ezekiel and Peter. It is that if your soul is not vexed today with the evil you see going around you, then your heart is not right with Christ. Now, I'm going to repeat that very slowly. If your soul is not troubled and heavily troubled and vexed, we'll say, by what you see around you, the evil, the absolute filth and decadence and abominations you see around you, and I don't just mean with homosexuals and sodomites and murder, baby murder. I mean, even economically, they're destroying the nation's economy. They're destroying the world through these so-called wars. If your soul's not vexed with all this, then you're not walking close to Christ. Because if you're walking close to him, you're going to have that sense of love in your heart and concern in your heart and righteousness in your heart that's going to make you angry over what you see. And if you live in this world today, you're not angry about what you see, then you're not walking with Christ. I'm serious about that.
Amen.
Believe what you want. I'm telling you the truth. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. I don't want to start preaching. Go ahead.
Amen. No, preacher. That's exactly right. I was studying the scripture similarly about a year and a half ago, and I saw the same thing. You see, the mark of the beast only makes sense when contrasted with the mark of God. You know, when the mark of God is upon a man, he grieves as God's heart grieves for the sins of the nation, or sins of the people around him. And so, you know, that's the mark of the beast refers to the fact that we, you know, a person's allegiance is given over to the world and to the ways of the world, the prince and power of the world, the Antichrist. The mark of God, though, demonstrates that we are submitted to our allegiance is to Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings,
Amen.
Lord of Lords.
Amen.
And we will not bow the knee to anything that would cause us to compromise our allegiance to Jesus Christ, whether it's a vaccine, which is basically medical rape, whether it's violating our conscience if we're a physician and participating or referring for an abortion, whether it's, you know, calling some transgender person, some transgender man who thinks he's a woman, calling him what he is. He's a man. If his name is Paul and he insists on being called Lisa, you should call him Paul.
I agree.
This is the kind of thing, as Christians, we need to stand strong on the truth. We don't have to be mean about it. We don't have to be nasty about it. We just have to stand strong. Look, it's not a loving act to go along with some fiction as if it's real. You're not helping anybody. Why does Jesus say be alert? And Matthew 24, the entire chapter of Matthew talks about the end times. How it's going to get terrible. It's going to get really bad. Persecution is going to go up. People are going to be. You just go back and read it. Not you, Pastor, but you know, anybody.
Well, yeah, I understand.
See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, "I am the Christ," and he will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars, and it goes on and on and on. Well, why does Jesus say be alert? And look, you got natural disasters, you got international rivalries, you got general lawlessness, you got false teachers misleading many believers, and direct attacks on Christians. Matthew 24. So I think the reason why he's telling us to be alert is because we need to be able to see things flat on. That Jesus Christ allows us to see the brutal reality and yet still have hope. So we can endure. We can persevere. We can overcome until the end. Blessed is he who overcomes, because he will inherit eternal life. This is key for us as Christians right now. There is an emerging Christian persecution, and it's not going to get better. And we bury our heads in the sand and say it's going to go away if we just be nice to people, and it's just not true. It's a false teaching. So we've got to be very careful to remain alert, to be sober, Paul says. Be sober. Now, I mean, it doesn't mean that people are going around getting drunk. He just basically means, look, there's other ways for people not to pay attention, like spending too much time on their smartphone, too much screen time, constantly being entertained. This is a lack of sober-mindedness. People are not aware. It'd be like the people of Issachar. The men of Issachar knew they were able to read the times. Jesus was frustrated with people because they could read the weather. Hey, the wind's going to coming out of the south. It's going to be hot. Hey, look, some clouds on the western horizon. It's going to rain. Well, you need to read the moral times, brothers and sisters. Read the moral weather. It's getting dark, and
Amen.
A storm is coming.
Amen. And the Pharisees and the scribes this day, it was chastisement because he was written about in their word, in their Torah. They should have known who he was when he come. They didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't recognize
him.
But you know, you mentioned about the jab, and I got to add this. Shared to the night, but shared again. Not now. They took off the COVID pandemic. It was lifted today. It's no longer something to be worried about. It says, but now they're giving the jabs to our food we eat, the beef and the pork and all that. They're giving the jabs now to animals. So when you drink milk or eat meat, you'll be digesting the mRNA vaccines in your system. Now, folks, know this for sure, that part of judgment for evil, part of the judgment for evil is more evil. Evil's like cancer. It multiplies. If we don't cut it out when it's small enough to handle, we'll get to the point we can't cut it out. We can't do it.
Yep.
And I'm convinced now, as I read last night on the program, on Psalms 11:3, the foundation has been destroyed and the righteous not going to fix it. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to fight. No. That doesn't mean that at all. It just means that we're not going to be able to fix it. This nation is going to be judged. I know that. Jeremiah said that. Ezekiel tried to get people to listen to that. They kind of laughed at him and ridiculed him and threw him in prison and everything else. Just like they're doing the few men today that are standing. There's a brother last night was coming on air with us up in Canada, Pastor Derek, and he was put in jail. I don't know what the reason was yet, but he was in jail when I called last night. This is the price now of being a true disciple for Christ. This is the cost.
Right.
That's why Christ said, count the cost. Don't lay your hand to the plow and look back. Don't do that.
That's right.
Count the cost. Go ahead, brother.
Yep. Yeah, I was just thinking as you were saying that John the Baptist was in prison for insisting, you know,
sure.
that it was unlawful for the King Herod to take his brother's wife, among other things. I mean, he didn't have any problem. But what does Jesus say? You know, the Great Commission, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. All that I commanded you? What does that mean? Well, teach them what it means to be human. Teach them about what right and wrong. Teach them. You've got to
the more, the moral codes, the laws
You've
of God
you're
supposed to teach.
Code.
The laws of God. And,
yeah.
You know, and I say this many times, people are upset, but I'm telling the truth. Christ did not say in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, to go out and save souls. He didn't say that. He said, teach them my laws, and then the rest will fall in place.
That's right. Yep, and then you got why else would the apostles be hauled before the authorities for disobeying the command to be silent about Jesus' resurrection?
That's
Paul,
right.
Remember Paul? He was wrongfully scourged, but he actually appealed to his citizenship for the first
yes,
time ever that we were
yes,
aware
he
of.
Did.
He
yes.
said, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who's a Roman?" Do you remember when he got stoned? Remember when Paul got stoned?
Mm-hmm.
I love this story, man. He got stoned, and they drag him out of town, thinking you know leaving him for dead, thinking he's dead. Well, he recovers, and he walks right back into town. Man, I got to love that. He thumbs his nose at them and says, look, you know, through many persecutions, many trials, we enter the kingdom of God. This is our future. And by the way, we're not better than our master, Jesus. You know, this, we deepen our fellowship with him the more we enter into the suffering for the gospel's sake, for the sake of truth. And you know what he says in Romans, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified
Amen.
With him.
Amen.
That's the road we're going to be walking, and we need to understand it and embrace it and recognize it, be alert, be sober-minded, and for the purpose of perseverance. I think it's helpful, Pastor Bush, I think it's really helpful for people to remember, in terms of perseverance and endurance and these kinds of things, in the face of great tribulation, I think it's helpful for people to remember our future. You know, the vision of the resurrection, the new heaven and new earth reigning with Christ.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, that is the glory to come, the weight of the glory to come. I mean, it's just, well, just think on that. You know, just think on that. We have not yet resisted the point of shedding blood, as it talks about in Hebrews, I believe. But I think the time is coming. And then once we have resisted the point of shedding blood, we've ceased with sin. Now we're focused, you know, we're moving on. We're seeking the things of God. Absolutely and perfectly.
Amen. And yes, it's going to come at the cost, folks, but the joy and the peace that you have when you go to bed at night, knowing that by his grace, you've done all you know to do, and that you're saved and kept by his grace, even if you didn't do perfectly all day, your heart's with
That's
him
right.
and he knows that. This is part of being born
That's
again,
right.
part of knowing who you live with and for. That's vitally important, folks. It really is. No matter what this earth throws at us, no matter what Satan's side may have for us, we are secure in the hands of Christ. Peter, when he was in prison, going to be martyred the next day, the angel had to shake him awake. He wasn't awake, walking the cell and trembling. He went to sleep, said, okay, great, tomorrow I'll be with the Lord. He didn't care. That wasn't on his mind. Anyway, let's take a phone call. Let's talk to Jim in Georgia. Jim, come on in. Welcome.
Okay, that man who was arrested in Canada. If every true Christian is not out there protesting in front of that police station, in front of that courthouse, if they're not flooding the newspapers and the news media out there, jamming their phone lines with phone calls, they're cowards.
I agree.
Okay.
And I guarantee
they're
not doing it. I guarantee very few are doing it. I guarantee that. I mean, look at Pastor Pulaski. How many stood with him? Very, very few.
Very few. Very few. And that's all I got to say, and I'll see you after a while.
All right. Thank you, Jim, for the call. Appreciate it. And, brother, I know you've seen this, too. I mean, you have preachers tell you that you're a hateful person because you're taking a stand against this. How dare you?
Yep.
You know, you're supposed to love your enemies and pray for them. You're not supposed to protect yourself from them. Gee.
Oh, my God. It's terrible. I mean, look, you have the witness of Hebrews where they're talking about how they need to stand with the people in prison. Well, why are they in prison? They're not in prison for doing bad things. They're in prison for being Christian. And you need to go visit them in prison because, well, that's a risk. If you're going to go visit somebody in prison because they're in prison for being a Christian and you go visit them, you're exposing yourself, right?
That's right.
We need to stick together. We need to stick together and recognize that we're not running for this. You can't run from this. You need to count the cost, as you said, and stay strong. But the only way to do that is to assemble ourselves together even more and more as we see the day drawing near because we need each other. We need each other's encouragement. And courage, Jim from Georgia, man, he's right. He told you, look at the Book of Revelation. You know, there's a vice list there, and in that vice list, it talks about how there's certain people that will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, and it includes homosexuals and effeminate and things like that. Well, it also includes cowards.
That's right. That's exactly right. I totally agree. Yep. Let's take another phone call from Wisconsin. Let's talk to Dino. Dino, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, gang. I've been calling into this show, Pastor Butch, Urban Butch, for about 20 years. And I just have a few things to say. I'm talking to, what's your last name again? James?
James Harden. Harden.
Harden. How was that again?
Harden, H-A-R-D-I-N. Harden.
Oh. So where, what state are you located in, James?
I don't think
we are in.
What state do you?
Oh, okay.
What's that?
Yeah, we're in New York. I do hail from Wisconsin.
Yeah, New York State. I got a scripture for us to read here, folks. This is Matthew 10:35-37. Christ said this, I didn't come to send peace on the earth.
Amen.
Or I didn't come to send peace, I came with a sword. Mm-hmm. Now here's a bad thing, but yet it's good. Christ's words. I came to set a man at variance against his father, his daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and the foes you have the worst will be in your own household.
That's right.
And then
very true.
The next verse says, if you love your father, your mother, or your relatives, or your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me.
That's true.
A verse that preachers don't preach no more, you know. We agree, right?
I agree. Because the preacher's afraid to lose the congregation.
Yep.
Two more things. Matthew 24, James and Butch, Mark 13, Luke 17, and Luke 21 all predict the last days. We're getting into that pretty fast. And we all have three feelings. They all rhyme. Glad, mad, and sad. In other words, happy, angry, and depressed. And but you know Psalms 9:17, right?
Right.
You know that verse?
Absolutely.
All nations?
Turn into hell or forget God, turn into hell, yes.
That's what it says, yeah. And James, the 20 years ago, the two people in Wisconsin who signed the law to let men marry men was one of the Bushes and it was Scott Walker. Yep. The Republicans are not going to and I was alive when that happened, and I went out on the street to protest against this, and I had friends that were walking past giving me the finger because I was standing up against the anti-homosexual and anti-abortion men. Unbelievable. You've been a pastor, and what's that again?
Go ahead.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. All right. I mean, look, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah. What were you going to say, James?
Well, no, I was just going to say we cannot. We can't let People think that they're going to be saved by a political party or by an election. I mean, it's too deep now. We have a Republican Party that's spineless. We've got a Democratic Party that's communist. We've got political appointees running federal law enforcement, by definition politicized, and carrying the political water of the communists. I mean, look, right. Jesus Christ is our protector. He is our protector. He is our provider. And when we step away from him, we bring upon ourselves destruction. That's it. That's just the fact.
Right. One more comment. Your name is James, and it's also another name for Jim.
Right.
And speaking of the word G-A-Y, I read your book again, Butch. It's in James 2:3. Not against you, James. That word says, where the G-A-Y word refers to bright clothing and being joyous.
Right,
it got changed. The word when they had Woodstock in New York, not too far from where you are right now. That was in New York State about 50 years ago, James, when they changed the word G-A-Y to redefine it. Yep, that's all been covered up.
I agree. Good call. Thank you, Dino.
Well,
appreciate
go
it.
Go on to this caller.
All right, thank you. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. And all you folks, I'm thinking of it. Tomorrow night's program is going to be a little different. We're going to have a guest on named Cody Wilson. I'm serious. This man helps you tells you how to develop, how to make 3D guns. The equipment is available. Everything is available to do that. It's going to be a totally different program. Yes, I believe in arm yourselves. And I certainly wouldn't mind having a 3D printer myself and do this with. To tell you just quite honest with you, I wouldn't mind at all. But what really concerned me, we'll get the next caller. Hang on a second, Mick. What really concerned me, brother, is most pastors would never, never dare touch that because they'd be considered a radical.
We don't have pastors that have been trained in theology. We have pastors that have been trained to centralize ministry and fleece the sheep. And they're not watchmen on the wall anymore, Pastor.
That's
they're
true.
Not watching, and that's why they're going to have blood on their hands. You know, we're
totally
looking
agree.
To protect. We have to protect people and to protect protect souls. And the souls are more or less attached to bodies, right?
I mean, right.
It's ridiculous to think that you can't protect your family, and you're going to have to. God, that's why. Go ahead.
I'm going to say those who believe that, and I believe some sincerely believe that. They don't know what they're doing. They're denying the faith and worse than infidel.
Yep.
That scares me. That scares me for their souls. That scares me.
They're just not alert, as the Bible, St. Paul talks about. He encourages Timothy to stay sober and then to be alert. And this emerging persecution, people have to take this seriously. Connect the dots here. We got to get the church to wake up for their own soul's sake.
Amen.
If they're asleep, then they will be faithless. They will not be able to endure. They will be led astray, and they will be destroyed.
And for the glory of God, for the sake of the children. Let's go to Mick in New Mexico. Mick, come on in. Welcome.
How you doing, Buck?
Hey, I'm doing pretty well. How you doing?
I just went to a freaking grocery store. Don't pass, okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know that feeling very well. I certainly do.
I may have to shorten them out. I'm going to give it to you the other day, okay, next day, okay? If you don't mind. Do you mind taking $30 out? Let's forget that now. But here's the thing. What we need to do to go against these sorry dogs is do imprecatory prayers.
Well, some people actually call that witchcraft, and that's sorry, it's sad to say that, because when they say that, they know what it means that God was practicing witchcraft in the book of Psalms with the imprecatory prayers. David was practicing witchcraft. That's nonsense. But go ahead, you're right.
We don't use it, then how the heck are we going to win them?
Well, we're to pray that our Father delivers from our enemies, and his will be done, but the church today... I don't think the church, they realize, Mick, they got any enemies. I think that they think everything's okay because they're waiting for the rapture.
That's funny.
That's just what I see in it.
One way trip to hell. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. And if more people would understand that the church is not a nice bunch of people. They're loving people. They're caring people. They're very opposed to violence. But the church, just like Christ, Christ was not some kind of limp-wristed, panty-waisted preacher. He took a whip to the money changers. He told the Pharisees of the day, the head of the church, that your father's a devil, you're a liar, and he's a liar. He stood up to the evil. To those who were lost and come to him, he was quick to forgive and heal. But the so-called righteous people of the day, the so-called church of the day, he saw was their righteousness was as filthy rags. He told them the way it was. Christ was not a wuss. And believe me, folks, when he came back again, he's not come back to be slaughtered again on the cross. He's come back with a sword coming out of his mouth. And I tell you, payday is going to be hell for a lot of people. Anything else you want to say,
yeah,
Mick?
That's like for all these Jewish churches.
I agree. I totally agree with that too. I see that. I see the lies. I see the lies coming from the whore church, the Catholic church. They come from the Zionists. I see the lies of Satan brought into the country and into the churches. But Mick, we should know better. We should study to show ourselves approved. But the pastors and churches don't do that.
No,
they don't do it.
No,
Mick, thanks for that's a good phone call. Thanks, Mick. About our time, but thanks for the call. Very good point. Anything you want to add to that, Jim?
Oh man, you're on fire. I couldn't agree with more. Couldn't agree with you more. I mean, Jesus is going to be. I mean, people think that he's just this nicety nice guy, and that loving people means that we should just agree with them and stick our head in the sand and think that nothing bad's going to happen to us because we're going to be raptured out of before the tribulation begins.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what Scripture says. And then Jesus, I think we need the church needs to focus a little bit more on the wrath of God to come through Jesus Christ when he returns. This is a scary thing, very scary, to recognize that he's willing to call the birds of the air to feast on the flesh of the great and the small. He's going to fill an entire valley, 200 miles wide, square, with blood up to the bridle of the horses. I mean, that's a lot of blood.
Yes, it is.
This is the Jesus who people, pastors are going around saying, oh, he's your best friend, he's your pal, he's your, and you get these, swoony kind of songs and saying, Jesus is my boyfriend. I mean, this kind of stuff needs to stop. We need to revere Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that he is, and he will exact absolute and perfect judgment on sin and death. He came to die on the cross. This was an invasion. Jesus Christ invaded the enemy's territory.
We're flat out of time, James. I'm sorry. We're out of time, James. I'm so sorry. I'll be in touch in the near future, okay?
You got it.
God bless, my friend. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow night with our guest, Cody Wilson. You know, they might not want to miss this one. Have a great night. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.